Rashi takes the position that the last five chapters of Sefer Shoftim have been, if you will, backloaded. They really occurred at the beginning of the period of Shoftim, but as a way for Shmuel Hanavi, the author of Sefer Shoftim, to make a point that things have gotten really bad and to set the stage for what develops in Sefer Shmuel, which is the reemergence of monarchy, which is that this whole judges period just it simply did not work out. The Radak makes the argument that it actually is written chronologically, but of course the point remains the same, that the Tkufa of the Shoftim, the period, which was typified not so much by what it was, but by what it was not, by Yamim Haim Ein Melech B'Yisrael, and therefore because there was no king, there was no guiding moral influence, Isha Yashar Be'enav Yaseh, and we've seen how that turns out. Most prominently, of course, Shimshon, when he keeps on saying, Ki hi yishara be'enai, she's the one that I want, what ends up happening to him? He loses his eyes. So the last story that we learned about, the story of Pesel Micha, we noted that was actually Moshe's grandson, and we titled that shir, those two chapters, chapters 17 and 18 of Sefer Shoftim, we called them Everything We Hold Dear. That sort of falls apart, how the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu became sullied. Moshe Rabbeinu, who we read about in last week's parsha, Ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Ha'adam Asher Al Pnei Adama, a person who didn't take 1 cent to his own advantage. Lo Chamor Achad Mehem Nasati V'lo Hariosi Achad Mehem. And now we have his grandson who is willing to sell himself, quite literally, to become a false Kohen for hire, in that way completely betraying the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we talked about how Moshe's crowning achievement by Yehi Shruin Melech B'Yisasef Rashayam Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, the idea of uniting the Jewish people. And what did we see last week? You have a young man who's a Levi, who was living in the tribal area of Yehuda, who goes up to Ephraim, and then Sheva Dan comes along and basically abducts him and threatens to wipe out the entire family of Micha. You know, saying that there is a lack of unity would be a kind of a euphemism. So that was bad enough. Well, the last three chapters of Sefer Shoftim, which we'll cover, God willing, this week, and then the subsequent 2 weeks, it gets even worse, if that's possible. So, you know, it's sort of the climax of Sefer Shoftim, but it's really the nadir of the entire work. And I entitled this year, Kisedom Hayinu. That was not my original formulation. Who did I get that line from? Kisedom Hayinu? We became like Sodom. Not my original line. I wish it was, but I'll finish the sentence. Kisdom hayinu lamora daminu. Shimudvar Hashem kitzinei Sodom. Hakshivu torad alokenu ama mora. That's Yeshayahu Navi. Yeshayahu perek aleph. It's the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon. We always read it the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, where we say the Jewish people who were supposed to be faithful to God, who were supposed to be righteous, kind, caring people who reflected the chesed of Avram Avinu, so we became the antithesis. Who's the spiritual antithesis of Avram Avinu? Of course, Sodom. That's what makes it so painful that Lot chooses Sodom over Avram. How does the Torah describe Sodom? Parshas Lech Lecha, Ve'anshei Sodom, Ra'im V'chata'im LaHashem Me'od. Right? It doesn't get much worse than that. That's getting straight to the point. And what this whole parak is about is literally Kisedom Hayinu, the most intensive story that we have about Sodom. Of course, that pasuk that I just quoted is in Parshas Lech Lecha. But what would you say is the most intimate story where we get a sense of just how cruel Sodom is as a place?
From the Midrash or from the
Pshat? From the simple psukim. The Midrashim, you know, we could go on and on and on. Dr. Gertler? Right, so it's a society where it's literally against the law to show chesed. Right? Lot brings guests into his home, and what's the reaction of the town?
They want to rape them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way to take it. That's what they say. Right? They know that people came. Lot, you know, says, Al na chai tareyu, he calls them my brothers, don't do this. you know, ki al kein bo betzel koratik, because they're my guests, so it's a violation of the guest host relationship. But what's Lot's response? He doesn't say, you know, give a little tzedakah. He doesn't say, you know, do a little mishpat. What does he say? Take my own daughters, right? Yeah, so there's something deeply perverse about Sodom. And even Lot, who stands out as, you know, the biggest Baal Chesed in Sodom, even then, you know, we're more than a little confused about, you know, his reaction. But it's a deeply evil place. You know, the famous Mishnah in Perkei Avos, when it discusses the ethos of Sodom, it says, Shali, Shali, Vishalcha, Shalcha. Right? There's no sharing. There's no compassion. It's like, you know, the Rambam says about the Jewish people. We never found a Jewish community where there wasn't a kupa of tzedakah, where there wasn't some kind of charitable giving. Right? And in Sodom, it's literally against the law to show any kindness to guests. Right? And that, of course, is just the antithesis of what being a member of the family of Avram Avinu is about, because Parshas Vayera is all about the contrast between Avram and Sodom. The beginning of Parshas Vayera, Avram, you know, who's recovering from his surgery, you know, while the nurses aren't looking, you know, he sneaks out and he goes to be Machnas Orchim. Is he, you know, he just can't help but bring guests into the home, and he's running around like crazy, and, you know, and it would be like a modern day image of he's wheeling around his oxygen with him, you know, because he's trying to make sure that the guests have everything that they need. And the minute that Lot brings guests into his home, they say, you know, we know that there are people in your home, bring them out, so we can violate them in the most gruesome and perverse way possible. So the reason that I'm reviewing this story is that we'll see that tonight's perek is just a reiteration of the story. At the end of going through the psukim, we're going to discuss an essay that the Malbim wrote, trying to differentiate on some level between the stories, but with all due respect to the Malbim and his important distinction, nonetheless, the similarities far outweigh whatever differences we may be able to discern. So the psukim begin, this is chapter 19, or the third to last chapter, the final story. The last three chapters are all one story. We call the story Pilegesh B'Giba, the story of the concubine in the city of Giba. We'll get to be very familiar with all the details. And that's a very important signal. Once again, for the third time, Shmuel Hanavi is sticking that right in front of us. There is no king. There is no leadership. Certainly there's no sense of unity. But there's also this moral vacuum. There's the political vacuum. There's a moral vacuum. Vayihi bayamim ahem umelach ein b'Yisrael. Vayihi ish Levi. So it starts out just like the last story, right? The last story of Pesel Micha, which was a wandering Levi who started to pretend that he's a Kohen. Vayihi ish Levi gar v'yarkitei har Ephraim. He lives at the very edge of the tribal area of Ephraim. Vayikach lo isha pilegesh mi Beit Lechem Yehuda. And he takes a pilegesh, a concubine, from the city of Beit Lechem in the tribal area of Yehuda. What is the Havdel? What's the difference between a regular Isha and a Pilegesh? Right, okay, so good. So it could be that there's Kiddushin for a Pilegesh, or there's no Ksuba, or the predominant view in the Rishonim seems to be that there's no Kiddushin or Ksuba. So it means that a woman who's associated with one man, but she doesn't have the dignity of having undergone a Kiddushin beforehand, and there's no Ksuba, there's no contract, which says that she's entitled to certain financial protections upon the demise of the man or upon a divorce. So we're talking about a woman who basically is there for conjugal purposes. And yes, you know, there's maybe a certain very limited degree of protection, but unlike a regular marriage where he would be obligated to support her, she'era, ksusa, ve'onasa, lo yigra, he'd have to support her, provide food, provide shelter, provide, again, dignity. You don't have it. It's a highly asymmetrical relationship. The Rambam, in fact, suggests that the very institution of Pilegesh was aser. Other Rishonim disagreed, but the Rambam felt there was just no way the Torah could have allowed for such an arrangement for anybody besides the king, which is a different story. So the idea is that there's Pilegesh, and again, according to the Rambam itself, this would be an indication of moral desiccation. Even if you don't rule like the Rambam, the very idea that the story is about a man and a Pilegesh doesn't speak very highly of society.
I don't want to sidetrack you, but what did Rambam say about Avram Avinu?
Well, again, that's before Matan Torah. The Rambam is very clear that that's a transition that happens after Matan Torah. Take a look in the Hilchos Ishas Perek Aleph, Halachos Aleph through Dalet. It's just some of the most beautiful language that we have in the Mishnah Torah. But what goes around comes around. And his Pilagesh is, according to the simple Pshat, unfaithful to him. According to the Gemara, it doesn't say Vatizne Pilagsho, that she objectively was a Mizaneh, that she was unfaithful, but Vatizne Alav, that he found her unpleasing. Maybe she did something in a relatively minor sense that was wrong, but whatever it is, you can't say their marriage broke up because there was no marriage, but whatever relationship they have dissolves. Vatelech mi'itoel beit avia, o beit lechem Yehuda, so she goes back to her father's home in Beit Lechem, in the tribal area of Yehuda, of course. Vatihisham yamim arba'a chodashim. She's either there for 16 months or 4 months, depending on how you interpret the pasuk. But they're separated for a relatively significant amount of time. Vayakum isha vayelech achareha. So the man, and here again it describes him as a kind of a quasi-husband. Isha literally means ishala, but it's really a pilagesh, and he's going after her. Lidaber al liba lahashiva, to sort of talk her into returning. Where does that expression find it? Where do we find that expression in Sefer Bereishit? Lidaber al liba is a very negative connotation for us as readers of Sefer Bereishit. Who's the man who's midaber al liba? Vaidaber al lev hanara. Shechem, right? In terms of Dina. It's not a healthy relationship, it's a relationship of coercion. So again, after he takes advantage of her physically, so he starts telling her all kinds of things, and in that way is able to make her feel not like the way that he treated her, actually. So again, now this man is going to follow the Pilagesh, and he wants to talk to her, and talk to her, you know, into coming back into being a concubine, and not even like, let's, you know, save the marriage, you know, whatever it is. I don't know exactly what the speech would go like. He doesn't have such good material to work with. V'na'aroi mo. Vitzemir Chamorim, he has his adjutant, the Nahar, there with him. He has a pair of donkeys. Vatibiyehu Beit Avia, so she brings him into her father's home. Vayirehu Avia Nara, and the father sees the man. Vayismach Likrato, and he's just thrilled to meet the guy. This always struck me as very odd. Why? This was your daughter.
You came up.
You wanted to be respectful.
If this was your daughter, you might go get a shotgun, right? This is the... Right. Didn't he have the decency to marry my daughter? And then, you know, whatever it was. But, you know, he's all too happy to meet the guy. Not the husband, the guy. It's all, you know, very, very strange. The only thing I could compare it to is the reaction of the mother we met last week in Pesel Micha. What am I referring to? Her son says, you remember those 1,100 silver pieces that have gone missing? I sold them. And she says, oh, blessed is my son. What a mensch I've raised. He always confesses when he steals. Yeah, you see some parent-teacher conferences, you know, you see certain things, but, you know, that I haven't seen yet, right? So, in any event, you know, the father here is like something, you know, a little bit off, right? But he says, oh, so great to finally meet you.
Well, he's still If his daughter is not with the man, then he has to support her.
Now, I understand. There could be some very cynical, you know, economic calculation involved, but still the Navi, Dr. Brother, shouldn't say vayismachli kratel. He's really happy about it. He may have something to gain from it, but there's something strange. There's something off about it in the emotional spectrum that he should react this way. This will be confirmed as we go forward. Vayichazak bochatno avi anara. And he like literally holds on to him. He's not just letting them, you know, leave and go back to Har Ephraim. Vayeshiv ito shloshet yamim. They're together 72 hours, and it's just a party. Vayochlu, vayishtu, vayalinu sham, vayhi vayom harivi. Finally, on the fourth day, vayeshkimu baboker. Everybody can think back to when they met their in-laws for the first time. It cannot be as strange as this is. Okay. Vayakum alachet vayomer avi anaral chotno. Sa'ad libcha pat lechem. That's an exact quote, by the way, of what Avram says to the angels that are the guests. Okay, so the Torah is already bringing us to Parshas Vayera, to set us, setting us the stage. The Navi is bringing us right there. So he says, why don't you have a little bit more bread? V'achar telecho, then you'll go. V'yishvu v'yichlu shnehem yachdav. Right, and so they eat together. for on the fourth day, vayishtu, and they become drunk. Vayomer avianarel ish hoel na velin vitavli becha. This emphasis on leib, that's why I bolded it many times. Now, why don't you have a little bit more to drink, and you'll enjoy it, and you're going to stay here for yet another day, vitavli becha, and it'll be good for you. Now, what's very fascinating to me about this is that these 96 hours, who sort of like completely disappear? That's right. She's like, that's a total non-entity, right? It's a disturbing thing. Okay. Vayakum ha'ish l'alachad, finally, you know, after the drink begins to wear off. Vayitzar bo chotno. But again, the so to speak, father-in-law, if you can call him that, vayitzar bo. This is the exact language that the Torah uses when it says that Lot brought the guests into the home. It says, vayitzar ban ma'od, vayasu reila, vayavo el beito. Vayas ha'mishta, and he makes a party for them, he makes a feast for them, and they partake of it. So again, now we're not only in the language of Parshas Vayera, we're squarely in the language of the guests in Sodom. Okay, so that's going to be, as I indicated, the major theme of the night. Vayif Tzarbochot, no, Vayasho, Vayalin Shem. Vayashkem Baboker, Vayom HaChamishi Lalachad, Vayom Ravin Ara, Sa'ad Na'alavavcha. Okay, why didn't you eat again? It's like this is something strange, Groundhog Day quality repeating. You can't get out of there. This is on day 5 already. Sa'ad na lebavcha vitma mu ad netot hayom. And why didn't you, you know, stay a little bit longer? Vayochlu shnehem, and they delayed, and in fact they continue eating. Where does this word occur in the Chumash? Vayitmama, vayitmama, vayitmama. It's a shalshalat.
Vayera.
Parshas Vayera. And of course, it's Lot unable to leave the city of Sodom even as it's being destroyed. So here we have this man delaying. He can't get out of the city. Okay, so all kinds of interesting imagery that's bringing us back to the story of Lot and the Malachim in Sodom. Vayakum ha'ish alechad hu pilagesho. Finally, the pilagesh reemerges. V'naro. Vayomer lo chotno avi anara. Hineina refa yom larov. It's getting dark in the day, it's going to be dangerous for you to be on the road at night. La rov linu na hena chanot hayom linpo vitavu vavecha. And again, your heart will be gladdened. Vishkamtem machar ledarkechem vehalachta laohalecha. And then you will be able to go. You know, this is exactly the language that Lot used with the Malachim. It says, Vishkamtem lachtam darkechem. This time, though, the gentleman, we can call him that, we can't say the son-in-law because they're not actually married, so he's just, you know, fed up. He wants to get out of there. He's been trying to get out of there for days, and this guy won't let him go, and he keeps on plying him with more food and with more drinks. V'lo ava ha'ish lalun. He says, I'm not staying another minute. V'yakum v'ilech v'yavo ad nochach yivus Yerushalayim. They passed by Yerushalayim, because remember, if you're going from Beit Lechem, and you want to go up to Har Ephraim, you're basically going from Judea to Samaria, you're going due north. On that road from Beit Lechem, right, just north of Beit Lechem is Yerushalayim. They'll pass Yerushalayim, and then they'll be, you know, in what we call Binyamin, Eretz Binyamin, and the goal is to get just a little north of there to Ephraim, where you have Shiloh, where you have Shomron, the actual city Shomron. So, you know, that's, everybody can imagine the geography. It's very familiar to us all. So they pass by Yerushalayim, and they go, V'imo tzemer chamorim chavushim u'pilag cho imo. So Hemim Yevus, they are opposite the city of Yerushalayim, which was not under Jewish control, it was under the control of a Canaanite nation called the Yevusi. V'hayom, and the day itself, rad me'od, it was turning fast into night. V'hayomer hanar al adonav, l'chanav in asura al yira Yevusi hazot v'nalinva. We can't be on the road at night, because people are going to rob us. In particular, what are they going to take from us? Our valuable donkeys. Okay? Remember that they keep on traveling with these donkeys. They're going to steal the donkeys. So we've got to go into the city. So the Nar says, why don't we stay over in the Yevusi city of Yerushalayim? So the reaction of this guy is like, you know, what have you lost your mind? Vayomer lav Adonav, lo nasur el ir nachri asher lo mibnei Yisrael heina. How could we go to a non-Jewish city? Let's go to the next city over. We'll go to the next rest stop, right? Next rest stop, 22 miles. So, you know, you're going up I-95 here. So the next major city was no longer Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the southernmost boundary of Eretz Binyamin. So the next major city in Binyamin was this place called Givah. They're going to stay at the Marriott Givah. It's a Jewish Marriott. They can eat at the bread and breakfast. Their donkeys are going to be okay. It's all going to work out. So Vayomer Lenaro, Lecha v'nikrava v'echadam v'kamod v'lanu v'givah o b'raman. If the Marriott is all booked, if there aren't any openings there, then we'll go over to the Hilton. We'll go to Ramah, the other Jewish city in Binyamin. But we're not staying with the Yevusim, okay? We are not staying with the Yevusim. We are going to a Jewish city. Okay, this is all going to be tragically ironic in just a few moments, but the idea was, have you lost your mind? You think that it's going to be safe for us to stay in a non-Jewish city? That would be just, absurd, utterly outrageous. Okay, and they go into the city just as the sun is setting and night is falling. They come to the main plaza of the city of Givah, where everybody can see them. What's the trouble? There's nobody who's going to do the mitzvah of Hachnasas Arachim. It's a Jewish city, right? So if it was Sodom, right? Okay, Sodom. That's what we call Midas Sodom. Ve'ein ish ma'asefo tam abayta lalun. Nobody's inviting them in. This is the children of Avraham Avinu. It's, doing Hachnasas Arachim from the, recovery ward. Tragic statement in its own right. Vine ish zakein. But there's one elderly man. It's like the last Jew in the town, last real Jew. Ba min ma'aseu min ha-sadeh. He was coming in from the field from a hard day of work. Ba erev ha-ish mehar Ephraim. He also was from Ephraim, just like the man who's traveling with his pilegesh and his nar and his two donkeys. Like Don Quixote. Vehu gar ba-givah. So he was from Ephraim, and he finds himself living amongst these men from Binyamin. So he himself is a kind of an outsider. So he's the only one who has rachmanas on these guests, right? Because he knows what it's like to be an outsider, this ish zakein, this elderly man. Vayisayna vayar. That's a direct quote, Dr. Gerler. Where's that a direct quote? Vayisayna vayar. Vinei shoshana shinitzavim alav. He's the Avram, right? He's the only Avram in the town. Vayisayna vayar. Okay? Etaisha. So I don't recognize you. Where are you coming from? What's going on? We're going from Beit Lechem to the edges of Har Ephraim. Remember, that's where he's from. He's bringing his Pilegesh back. Okay. Says, I had to stop in Beit Lechem. Of course, he doesn't say what he was doing in Beit Lechem. It makes no mention of the fact that, he was on a Pilegesh retrieval mission. He doesn't want to compromise his religious standing. And this is the best part. V'et Beit Hashem ani holeich. And by the way, my plan is to stop in the Mishkan in Shiloh tomorrow. I'm a very religious guy. I wouldn't pass by the Mishkan without stopping in. Okay, v'ein ish ma'asefo t'yabaiten. Can you believe it? There's no Hachnasas Arachim in this place for, a stand-up guy like me. So v'gam teven gam mispo yesh l'chamoreinu. Right, we're not going to be a burden to anybody. We come with all of our supplies. It's not going to be a financial burden. V'gam lechem v'yayim yeshli. I have plenty of bread and wine. V'lamatecha v'lanari mavadecha ein machzor kol davar. We're not going to be a financial burden on anybody. We just literally need a place to spend the night. V'yomer yish hazakein shalom lach. You have found peace. Rakol machzorcha alai. And of course, you don't have to. No, we'll do hachnas sorchem the right way. We'll feed you. We'll take care of you. Rak barechov al talin. The one thing that I cannot bear is for you to have to spend the night in the rechov. That's what Lot also said. Vayitzar b'amod, vayasurila, vayavod, vayto. Finally, he says, you can't stay in the rechov. It would be just a disgrace in a Jewish city for people to have to spend the night literally sleeping in the streets. Vayivyeu levayto. So he brings these individuals, the man from Har Ephraim, his Na'ar, the Pilegesh, Vayaval HaChamorim, he gave food to the donkeys, Vayachatsu Raglehem, Vayachlu Vayishtu. Literally, word for word, what Lot did for the guests in Sodom. Hema Mativim et Libam, and once again, their hearts were being gladdened. Vinean Shea Yeran Shea Vine Vilibao Nasabu et Habayin. Word for word, what it says about the people in Sodom. Mitab Kim. al hadalet vayemru al ayish bal abayit hazaken lemor hotzeya tayish asher bali beitcha v'neida'enu. This guest in your house, no guests here in Givah, send him out to the street so we can do to him what the people in Sodom were planning on doing with Lot's guests. Vayitzeyayim alehem ha'ish bal abayit vayomer alehem al achai al tareyu. Word for word. That's what Lot said to the people in Sodom. Al na'achai tareyu. And then he goes to Lot playbook. Al achai al tareyu na'acharai asher ba ish hazel beiti ki al kin bo betzil korati. Lot had said, these people are my guests. How can we treat them that way? Al tasur nivala zot. Don't do this terrible nivala, this disgrace. Hine vitia betula. But don't worry, I won't shortchange you. If Lot offered two women, his own two daughters, says, I only have one daughter, but don't worry, don't think I'm being cheap. I can match Lot's offer. Why? I don't like it here. So she's not my daughter, but okay. And she's sort of my guest also, but look, we've got to make good. We've got to do the Sodom trade. So we'll send you the two daughters, right? But remember, the people in Sodom didn't take the offer. And that's why God, very ironic in light of Sefer Shoftim, what did God do to the people of Sodom? They lost their vision, right? Remember, Ish Hayashar Ben Avia says, Shimshon, this whole story of losing vision, losing eyesight. So anyway, Hinei v'tia betula pilag sheo tiana otam. And he says, ve'anu otam, and you can torture them. That's what the word la'anot means. This is the righteous man in this town.
It doesn't mean rape.
Oh, it certainly does. But in particularly painful and horrific way. La'anot in modern Hebrew means to torture. Inui. V'asulahem ato b'neichem la'ish hazelo tasu davar hanevala hazot. V'lo avu anashim lishmalo. Just like the people of Sodom, they weren't going to take this offer. We're going after the real guest, the man from Har Ephraim. V'yechazek ha'ish b'pilag sho. But what does the guy do? This guy from Har Ephraim, you know, v'yidaber al liba, he said it's going to be different this time, honey. It's going to work out. You're going to be my one true, real pilagesh. You know, whatever romantic thing he said. So what does he do? He literally takes her and he throws her out of the house and he slams the door behind. He throws her to the mob. Quite literally. Vayachazek ha'ish b'pilagsho. Vayotze alehem achutz. Vayidu ota. The only difference between them and Sodom was that they did take advantage of her. Vayitaluva kol halayla ad haboker. It's a terrible image. Vayishalchua kalot hashachar. And as the sun is coming up, they just throw her. Just throw her into the sea. And she's literally staggering back to this place where her
lover,
husband, quote, Vatavo yishal difnot haboker. And she collapses. Vatipol petach habayit, vapetach beit ha'ish asher adonai asham ad ha'or. Vayakum adonai baboker. So he gets up in the morning, you know, after he gets his coffee and his pancakes and his French toast. Vayiptach dalton habayit vayitzil alecha darko. Vihinei, you know, and he stumbles out onto the porch. Vihinei ha'isha pilagsho nofel et petach habayit v'yadel asaf. And her hands are literally stretched out right on the porch outside the door. Vayomer Elaha, and he says, Kumi, get up. It's hard to read these, but it's just, you know, outrageous. Kumi, v'neilecha, v'einonem. But she doesn't answer. She passed out. She no longer living. V'kachel, chamor. So, you know, he just puts her on the donkey and rides the other donkey and they get back. Who else took a ma'achalah? In Parsha Vayera? Avram. Avram Avinu. And he slices her into 12 different pieces. Yisrael. And he sends a piece of her body to all the tribes of Israel. The Malbim says this is a obviously literal, but there's a metaphor here of what happened to the Jewish people was one body split into 12 pieces. This is unheard of. Inquire after this. Come to understand it. How could such a thing have happened? Now the Malbim writes a whole essay. You see it here in the next source. Everything is exactly the same, the way that it played out in Sodom. etc. The people of Sodom, haya chetam mitzad haseichel. Their sin was rational. Ki chakiku lahem chukim botov mishpatim bal yachiv bahem chayim medinos. In other words, they made laws that were cruel. Vekublu aleim achukim eilu mishpatim tzadikim. Bal yavar derech arzam, that they're not allowed to have any hospitality. Vea over, and anybody who violates this, anoshi anesh kefini nimusayhem, right, will be punished in a very severe way. It wasn't like they had perverse desires, but they were just corrupt in the most evil way possible. Not like the people of Giva, the people of the city in Binyamin. It wasn't because of some law that they had. They had desires, and he goes on from there to say, the reason that nobody invited him over is because they were all stingy. The reason that they wanted to take advantage of the guest was because that they had uncontrollable desires, and that's why he says they eventually accepted the woman, whereas the people in Sodom would have never accepted that because they were just looking to enforce justice according to their laws and traditions. So the Malbim, I think, makes a noble effort to try to, in some sense, you know, distinguish and say Sodom, it was de jure, and in Giva, it was de facto. But for all of the Malbim's protestations, right, if it walks like Sodom, and it talks like Sodom, and it sounds like Sodom, it's Sodom. That's the point of this story. Kisdom hayinu la moradiminu, that a Jewish city, and that's the terrible irony of the story, right? What was the guy saying? Well, we can't stay in a non-Jewish city. I mean, Lord knows what might happen there. And of course, as readers of Sefer Shoftim realize it, whatever would have happened in Yavus, in Yerushalayim, could not possibly have been as ghoulish, as ghastly, as horrific as what eventuated in the Jewish, theoretically Jewish, city of Giva, where they couldn't have been any more dissimilar to Avram, could not have been any more similar to Sodom. And so, as we're going to go forward and read about the aftermath, terrible aftermath, of this story of Pilegesh Begiva, where there are no tzaddikim, right? Certainly not this person from Har Ephraim, who's callous beyond words. The Pilegesh herself was involved, in all likelihood, in infidelity. Her father is just about as bizarre a figure as you can possibly imagine. The Ish Zaken, who's, you know, so to speak, the righteous person in Giva, you know, he himself is willing to throw his own daughter out to the masses, and this Pilegesh for sure, right? It doesn't come to that, right? Because ultimately the guy just takes his own Pilegesh and throws her out to the masses. But he's no righteous person. There are no tzaddikim in this story. Which reminds us of another place, of course. What was the place that didn't have any tzaddikim? There wasn't a tzaddik in the town. And that's the trouble here. And as we go forward with the aftermath of this story, let's just keep this in mind. What happened in the previous two chapters, the story of Pesel Micha, and again we call this year All That We Hold Dear, is that the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu was undone. And here what do we have? We go back even further. We dig even deeper. And now we're seeing that the Jewish people, not only is it the legacy of Moshe that's been lost, but something even more fundamental than that. Because before Moshe, before Har Sinai, before Matan Torah, there was something. There was called Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. And Avram was the embodiment of all that. And now even that we've lost. So the last chapter was all about desecration of Moshe Rabbeinu's legacy. And these chapters are all about the desecration of Avram Avinu's legacy. It's a people that, in the genealogical sense, in the biological sense, may be descendants of Avram, but certainly not in the spiritual sense. Certainly not morally or ethically. And this is exactly where Sefer Shoftim is going to, again, reach its crescendo. What has happened to the Jewish people? We no longer reflect Moshe. We no longer reflect Yehoshua, certainly. We no longer reflect Avram. On the contrary, we reflect Sodom. And the gap, the chasm between the appearance and the reality, and that's what makes it perhaps the most powerful pasuk in this entire parak, is when the man looks with incredulity at his nar for suggesting, out of your mind, that we're going to stay over the night in a non-Jewish city? With their values? Right? Don't be like the tribes of Canaan. And yet, that terrible irony that the Jewish people are far worse than the Yavusi could have possibly been. The worst form of cruelty to this woman is indescribable what happened. And the callousness of the reaction comes outside the house in the morning and he says, Kumi. No guilt, no sense of shame. She's dead. You know. And he killed her. He threw out to the mob. No sense of accountability. So things have gotten really bad. And that's the essence of the story of Pelegish Begiva. In the aftermath, we're going to take two chapters to have to work out. How do the Jewish people respond to something like this? Is there such a thing as the Jewish people? Or, as the Malbim points out, is it like, unfortunately, the corpse of this Pelegish? Is it something that once was Guf Echad, Yachad, Shivtei Yisrael, that has been dissected, desiccated into 12 distinct pieces that bear no relationship to one another? The whole is undiscernible. Gila, Dr. Gertler.
I was wondering, why does he do what he does at the end over here? Why is he making this?
It's a good question, right? And he's certainly not taking personal responsibility. But there's an aspect to this person that has at least a sense that the Jewish people don't behave this way, right? That's why he said to the Nar, well, are you crazy? We're going to stay in a non-Jewish town overnight?
I think that's just hypocrisy.
Well, he obviously is completely unaware of his own failings. That's for sure. But the idea is that, you know, he has this image of the Jewish people, and maybe this image of himself, that is completely inconsistent with his own behavior. I mean, one of the pieces of evidence that I would point to again is how does he sort of sell himself to the Ish Zaken in the city of Giva? Says, you know, I'm a traveling man. I had to go to Beit Lechem, and now I'm going to Yarkatei Har Ephraim. As if he's on some noble mission. We know what he was doing, right? He doesn't say, I was going to, retrieve my Pelegesh, who, was unfaithful. And he says, I'm going to the house of God. You know, I'm going to be stopping at the Mishkan tomorrow. So there's this idea, this image of himself as some kind of a righteous person, as a pious person. So we see that gap in his own self-awareness. And I think that gap is also probably true of his own sense of the Jewish people writ large. Dr. Gertler, I saw your hand. Oh, Siggy, it was you. Okay, go ahead.
How typical, this is a story. How typical of this is this kind of behavior in general?
Well, I think we're supposed to assume, especially based on the conclusion of the parak, that however far the Jewish people have fallen, this was shocking. This was shocking. Remember that last pasuk, we'll just read it again. V'ayachol haroeh, anybody who saw one of the limbs of this woman's body carved up, v'amar lo niyata v'lo nirata kazot l'miyom alot b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh. It's unheard of, it's unprecedented that such a thing could have happened in the Jewish people. So certainly based on what we're going to see the next 2 weeks, yes, things were very bad. You could have people stealing from their own mothers. You could have people pretending to be Kohanim and trying to make a dollar off of it. Right? There was very little left that could be called sacred. But does this represent something new, something worse? I would still say yes. I would still say yes. That's certainly borne out by the reaction that we'll see over the next two chapters. Okay. Not much to end off in terms of consolation when it comes to Pilagish Begiva, but we'll finish Sefer Shoftim in 2 weeks, so, you know, it'll be okay. Yes? Oh, was that a hand?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.